A hymn like this can be very helpful in our personal time. I've mentioned this before. I don't know how much the saints avail themselves of using the hymns in the personal time with the Lord. I do hope that there could be a more intimate knowledge of the hymns, so that it gets into you, they're in you, and then at whatever time, the Spirit can bring up something. Now, it could be that as a result of singing this now, that tomorrow morning, when you're waking up, like, has that ever happened to you? There's like, you wake up with a hymn already. That's like, thank you, Lord. I don't have to think. I don't have to figure it out. You're calling me. God is faithful, who has called us into the fellowship. Amen. That's that verse. He's calling you. He's calling you. And he's calling you with words already. Sometimes you may feel, you wake up, see the alarm, see the clock. It's, oh Lord Jesus, or some other expression, oh no. And you get up, and then you wash up, and then maybe, hopefully, by that time we're calling already. I don't know what your routine is. Then you get to wherever you're going to pray, and thank the Lord you got there. That's a victory like by itself, like chalk on up for victory, that I actually got here. But then sometimes, I don't know about you, in the past, when I was younger, I was working my way in. You know what I mean? I wouldn't just like walk into the Holy of Holies. I was dragging a little bit, and maybe you're past this stage already. Thank the Lord for that. Yeah. But you know, now here I am. Oh Lord Jesus. And I'm trying to stop focus. Try to focus now. But when you wake up with a hymn, it's like the Lord is already calling. He's calling you. Mm-hmm. You can just start, like, morning revival began. As soon as your eyes open. Don't think it starts when you sit down. It starts when you open your Bible or even open your hymn book. It starts when you get to your place. It already began because he's calling you. I tell you, the more we know the hymns, the more this can happen. The more this can happen. There's more chance. And then even in our time with the Lord, as we're praying, we talked about this, the intuition, that's the anointing spirit working in us. And now our spirit is exercised. This is our spirit exercising to cooperate with that sense. Now the two spirits are mingled and we have a sense in our spirit. And so you're praying, but as you're praying, a hymn comes. And it could be that in your middle of your reading, in the middle of the verse, the Lord wants you to break into song. So your morning revival becomes a musical. Praise the Lord. I always thought that was funny, you know, when you see the... I'm not into musicals, you know. And so people talking and all of a sudden, whoa, and then everybody around them all knows the words, you know what I mean? That kind of thing, like, oh my goodness. But actually, I found out my life is a musical too. Praise the Lord. I think Brother Ed talks like this. Ed Marks. He talks. Our life can be a musical. And the more you know the hymns, I tell you, in the middle of the day, you could break into song on the subway in New York City. Now, you know, I know you're not going to. What? Actually, you do that, nobody's going to care anyway. They're just going to think, oh, another crazy. You know? And like, you'll be, you know. Anyway. Who knows? Like another saint might be there and join in. All of it. That would be wild. That would be wild. Anyway, if that happens, let me know. Okay, but my point is the anointing. Have you built up a repertoire? Have you built up an armory? Have you built up an arsenal in your inner being of words, verses, of even things you hear in ministry? You get that into you. Hymns, songs, choruses. I tell you, even children's choruses. Very often. One chorus that comes to me at the very beginning of many days is, I was going to say it. I had it, and then I lost it as soon as I started talking about it. That happens. The Lord has the. I want the Lord to have the first place in my heart. I want the things of earth that hinder to depart. I hear my Savior call. Savior or Master? Savior. But I can sue Master if I want. Right? But it's Savior, right? I hear my Savior call. I gladly give my all. I want the Lord to have the first place in my heart. By now I'm brushing my teeth. You know what I mean? Like I wake up with, and it's time. I sit up. Oh, Lord. And it just, that one just comes very, very often to me. Very often. And this is, we're talking, 40 years now. That, not every day, but intermittently, that particular little, that's a children's chorus. And it just comes and brings me to the Spirit, right? As we're singing, now a hymn like this, I come back to this hymn. As we're singing, sometimes I feel when, like we're in a meeting like this, when we were just singing now, I wish that we could dismiss the meeting and everyone just go pray. And go take maybe 15, 20, 30 minutes to pray over this hymn. What would happen? I thought about that just now. Because I felt like I wanted to go pray. Well, I think maybe if we do that, that's worth the whole conference for you. Especially we were singing. I like when we do the brother-sister thing, just listening to the sisters. It's just, I don't want to use the word angelic, but there's something special and heavenly. Hearing the sisters sing. And then we're singing the chorus. Each day. You're singing. Each day. The Lord may just give you a kind of, it's just a little gush of anointing, a little wetness, a little something. That means stay here. Each day, Lord, each day. Like interrupt yourself. You can do that. When we're together, I want to say, saints, wait! I want to pray. But when you're by yourself, you can interrupt yourself in the middle of a word like each. That's hard to do. Short word. But you can, each day. Oh Lord, each day, including today. Lord, today what? Let thy supporting might, your supporting might, this is the word that touched me when we were singing. My weakness still embrace. My weakness still. Still, I still need my weakness to be embraced. As we were sitting there, the Lord just, Lord. I'm still weak. Regardless what people would think, only you know. My weakness. I need my weakness, Lord, for you to embrace my weakness today. Recently, I was touched with this verse in Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer. We should say, do not lead me into temptation. Do not lead me into temptation. Why did the Lord put that there as the kind of model of prayer? But deliver me from the evil one. Do not lead me into temptation. Why? Because Lord, please don't lead me, because I don't have the confidence. I don't have the confidence that if you would lead me into temptation, I would not fall. I haven't reached. I haven't arrived. So Lord, just don't lead me into temptation. Sometimes we get ourselves into temptation. But we should at least pray, Lord, please don't lead me. I'm still not strong enough. That means I still don't depend on myself, Lord. I'm still depending on you. So when sisters were singing, my weakness still, I was praying, oh, my weak, still. That word still meant a lot to me. I don't know about you. I don't know what word or what portion touched you. But what I'd like is that we would exercise our spirit by exercising the functions of our spirit, exercising the functions, and that each part or each function of our spirit would be sharper. I appreciate, I don't remember, was it a prayer or was it a sharing this morning? But someone touched on this, if you recall, toward the end of the meeting. That's why we treasure every portion. And that it may have been a prayer. I don't recall. It made a distinction between strong and sensitive. Do you remember this? Someone prayed this. Or someone said this. I don't remember. I think it was just a prayer. Lord, something like, we don't just want a strong spirit. We want a sensitive spirit. And it was talking about building up the, you know, intuition. You know, when we talk about having a strong spirit, very often, we want to exercise our spirit, right? We want to exercise. The Bible uses this word, exercise, in 1 Timothy 4. So that's the kind of ground that we have for this phrase, exercise your spirit. Exercise unto godliness, right? It's in contrast to bodily exercise, right? The bodily exercise. So this is the spiritual exercise, the exercise of the spirit. How do you exercise your spirit? Well, you exercise your spirit, right? To have a strong, we exercise to be strong. So we think that means loud. That means so that I can be bold in the meeting. Well, maybe that's part of it, but that's not the basic thing. A strong spirit is a most sensitive spirit. That's a strong spirit. How can you tell that you have a strong spirit? You can hear the still, quiet voice. The more we're H-O-N-E, hone. You know, when you have two knives, sharpen each other, right? That's also called W-H-E-T, whetting the blade. That sharpening of our spirit is not just to be powerful, but to be so sensitive. You know, in the consecration of the priests, the blood was applied to the ear, actually the right ear, and then to the thumb of the priest, and then to the big toe of the right foot. Interesting. Not to the tongue. And then after the blood, it was the holy anointing oil on the three places, but not on the tongue. Because as serving ones, as even slaves of God, as priests of God, the first thing we should do is hear him. We talked about that this morning. The Father says, this is my son, hear him. So this is reflected in, I think it's Exodus 21, where it talks about the slave that loves his master and does not want to go out free. So what does the master do? He takes him to the doorpost and he pierces his ear, you know, like for an earring, makes a hole. And sisters, I don't think that how you make earrings, the piercings. But you take them to the doorpost and, you know, make a hole in the ear, which means what? He opens your ear. Because the most important thing for a servant or a slave is their listening, not their doing. You could be very gifted. You could be very, what? Powerful. But if you don't hear what the Lord is saying to you, if you don't have an ear to hear, you know, that's an overcomer. What is an overcomer? An overcomer is one who has an ear to hear. Not one who has a strong arm to work and fight. An overcomer has an ear. That's where it starts. Whatever situation we are in, the way to overcome is first to open your ear for His Word, because actually it's His Word that will save you. His Word that will operate to bring us to where we need to be. Please open with me to Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50. This is the most interesting verse. We'll read verses 4 and 5. Or I'll read it to you. Isaiah 50 says, "The Lord Jehovah has given me the tongue of the instructed." Of course, this is a prophecy about our Lord Jesus. "So the Lord Jehovah has given me the tongue of the instructed, that I should know how to sustain the weary with a word." You know, our Lord, He can sustain us with one word. One word can just speak to you, enliven you, and carry you on. Like you can go on another day. Praise the Lord. One word. Don't you want to learn how to do that? When a saint comes and you could give one word and the saints are, "Oh, thank you. Just one word. Oh, I want to learn that. I want to learn that." Then it says, "He awakens me morning by morning." You want to sustain others? Be woken. Not, it doesn't say, "I wake up." "He awakens me." How does He awaken you? You wake up. Oh, thank you, Lord. You're calling me into the fellowship. "He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as an instructed one." To have the tongue of an instructor, we need to have the ear of an instructed one. "The Lord Jehovah has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious." Then this next part is also interesting. "Nor did I turn back. I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the hair. I did not hide my face from humiliation and spitting. The Lord Jehovah helps me. Therefore, I have not been dishonored. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be put to shame." Of course, all this is referring to the Lord that night, right? You know what I mean, right? That night. Remember when they took Him and they mocked Him and they beat Him and they spit on Him. Do you realize He was doing the Father's will by doing nothing? How did He have the strength? How did He have the strength to withhold? You know, imagine. You know, it's one thing if they grab me, you know. They grab me and they're doing all these things to me. And then you have like, you know, 7 or 10 centurions around me just playing with me, mocking, hitting. I can't do anything. Like if I push this one, then this one will knock me out. But he's God, you know. He's there and you're doom, doom. He could just go, you know, like the force. Everybody just. But He didn't do that. He just took it. Where did that supply come from? A couple of hours before, He was there with the Father. Amen. In the garden again, as was His custom. He was with the Father again. "Father, if it's possible, remove this cup. And that wasn't even what he was talking about, the cup, remove this cup from me. Not even this. He was going to go through something much more drastic than this. Nevertheless, he said, Father, never remove this cup. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. And his ear was open again. To the very end, his ear was open to just obey the Father's will. Obedience. And even, it says in verse 7, therefore I have set my face like a flint, so strong, even to face opposition. The Lord was just so strong. All of this is within us right now. He's within us to reproduce himself in us. Saints, sorry to say, like I mentioned this morning, we don't need big trials and tribulations. And we get knocked off center. We need to be those who set our face like a flint. Who are able to take it for the Lord. I don't mean as a, you know, quote unquote, oh, I'm a martyr for the Lord, look at me. Oh, I'm facing persecution. But we just know our direction and nothing deters us. So something doesn't go our way. I still know who I am and I still know what I'm doing. And so I just keep following the Lord. And it doesn't discourage me because I'm not expecting everything to go my way because my master, it didn't all go his way. And you can't expect the slave to have better than the master. He told us that. He asked us. Can the slave have it better? No. But where did he get his supply? He opened his ear in those times with the Father. You know, saints, I mentioned this book this morning, The Experience of Life. And I know a number of you have probably read this. I know those of you who are in the full-time training, who passed through full-time training, you're well aware of the contents of this book. This is by Brother Lee, by Brother Witness Lee. And the four stages of life. And if you've been in meetings within the last several years, you hear now and again, and maybe more in recent times, some of the brothers talking about, a number of you are in the third stage, just the beginning of the third stage, but there's some concern how far you've gone. There's some concern. And there's the first stage. I'm just going to read this quickly. First stage is in Christ. First stage is regeneration, clearance of the past. I hope all of us have this thorough experience. This is foundational, right? The second stage, listen to this, consecration, dealing with sins, dealing with the world, dealing with the conscience, obeying the teaching of the anointing, knowing the will of God. You know, when someone would say, oh, brothers and sisters, I think a number of you, you've passed through the second stage, now you're in the third stage. What is the third stage? Dealing with the flesh, dealing with the self, dealing with the natural constitution, accepting the discipline of the Holy Spirit, dealing with the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Sometimes when I hear the brothers say, oh, you pass through the second stage and you're in the third stage, I wonder, did we really pass through the second stage? How many pass through the second stage? Now it should be, it really should be, that at a certain, with certain time in the Lord, we should advance. And some of these lessons should be, we shouldn't be, falsely humble. Like, oh, I don't know. No, saints, we should have a thorough consecration. Amen. We should be able to say, I know dealing with sin. I know dealing with sin. I know what it is dealing with the world and dealing with the conscience. I hope as we go along, I don't mean in a proud way, but if we are serious about following the Lord, serious about growing and pleasing him in his purpose, These lessons we should be learning. And there should be at least a kind of foundation of all these dealings. Especially consecration, sin, the world, the conscience, and the teaching of the anointing. And here also, knowing the will of God. I hope everyone here, you would take a look at this and say, Lord, where am I? Or then, stage three, dealing with the flesh, dealing with the self. I can't say the Lord has not started this. Yes, I know this, dealing myself. The Lord has started to expose me, especially in my service, in the church life. And those who are married, in your marriage. If you haven't been the Lord hasn't started working on you about dealing with the self and dealing with the flesh, I tell you, I don't know how you can have a happy marriage. Now, this is not so that you can have a happy marriage. This is a side benefit. But I tell you, if you start to know yourself, you'll have a happier marriage. If you start to know your flesh, then amen, Lord. Amen. The Lord will constitute you into a more proper God-man husband and God-man wife and God-man parent. Knowing these. Of course, these are for the body. These are for the body. But my point is this. I don't want anyone here to be stuck. I don't want you to be stuck in the second stage. I don't want you to be stuck in the third stage, if that's where you are. I want all of us to have a heart to advance. Lord Jesus, grow in us. Lord, grow in me. Lord, grow daily in me. If I need to learn lessons, Lord, I'm open. I'm open. And you know my capacity. You know my weakness. So Lord, bring it on, but with grace. Amen. Please. I'm open, Lord. I'm open. You know, the Lord promises us in 1 Corinthians 13. He won't bring a temptation on us that actually we can't handle. If something happens, there's grace for that. You should trust. There's grace for this. Else, why would the Lord allow it? This is what I mean. You have to claim the promises in the Word. The Lord promised. He won't let anything happen that's too much for me. Amen. So if this is happening, and I say it too, Lord, this is too much for me. Now, he's never said, no, it's not. But actually, in a gentle voice, in a gentle way, he just, well, here it is anyway. I'm not taking it away. Because actually, it's not too much. There's grace. There's grace. And he's operating. He's operating. One more verse before we come back to Mark, these verses here. Jeremiah 48. Let's look at Jeremiah 48, verse 11. Jeremiah 48, 11. This says, well, let's read together, whoever has it, please. Moab has been at ease from his youth. You know, it's talking here about the process of producing wine. Moab is settled on his lees. You know, I don't know that much about this, but there had to be the pouring of the you know, once the juice the grapes are crushed. There's the wine, but then there's other things. And those things sink to the bottom. And the wine is there. So you have to pour from vessel to vessel to leave the other things behind. Pouring from vessel to vessel. And that has to be done, apparently, repeatedly. Okay. So the point here, it says what? Moab has been at ease. That means you're just still. from his youth. And he has settled. He's settled there. And has not been emptied from vessel to vessel. You know, when you're at work at 4 or 5 p.m., something happens that changes the trajectory of the rest of your day. Now you're going to have to stay till 9 or 10. Yeah, you know what that is? That's vessel to vessel, vessel to vessel. Well, those of us that own a vehicle and you know, you take it in for an oil change, and then you find out that, you know, there's something that costs $2,000. Yeah. All these things that come our way. Our inner reaction is, you know, something else, usually. Again, I don't know about you. Maybe you take it all. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, but I rather doubt. Well, it does say, in everything give thanks, right? I think the next time it happens, that verse may come to you, right? Because of what I just said. That verse may come to you. But do you understand? Things happen. Things happen. Have you never said, Lord, why now? Not now. Lord, not now. But the Lord sent it now. In his loving, tender care for us. Because, why? It's possible we've been too settled. And what's the issue of not accepting the Lord's work in our environment? Accepting the Lord's work in our environment? It says, therefore his taste remains in him and his scent is not changed. So what does that mean? That means no progress in the spiritual life, maybe for years. For years. And we got stuck. We just hope no one here gets stuck. But we all are able to advance. Okay, let's come back to Mark chapter 4. I hope you remember the three phrases from these verses. Anybody remember? What's the first one? I didn't hear it clearly. What? Rocky places, which we haven't touched. We're coming to that now. What's the next one? No depth of earth. No depth of earth. And then number three? No roots. No roots. Those are from Mark chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Incidentally, this morning, if I would give this morning's fellowship a title, and this afternoon, actually you could say the general subject for the weekend, I would call it this. Okay, life in the depths. Life in the depths. I'm borrowing this from a message given by Brother Nee, Brother Watchman Nee. Life in the depths. Okay, so I think that would be our kind of our general subject or the title to the conference. So we had no depth of earth, shallow. Why? People governed still by emotion and environment. Circumstances. Then, no root, the hidden life with the Lord. I'm not going to ask, but I'm really tempted to. Like, did anybody go for a walk this afternoon? Spend a little time, a little extra time. There's plenty of time still left for the day. You know, our schedule here is rather, you know, it's not too intense on purpose. We want the families, the children, to get their due time. Like, we don't want meeting, and you're kind of dropping off the kids, and then parents are missing, and then eventually moms think, what's the point? I'm missing all the meetings, so why even go? We don't want that. Yeah. Also, we want time for your fellowship together, just to be together, us to see one another, to catch up, to strengthen one another. All those times. But number three is to give everyone a little free time to be with the Lord. Just to go. And have the hidden growth. the hidden growth. Okay, let's talk about the rocky places. We may have the desire, oh Lord, grow in me. And we say, Lord, grow in me. But then the Lord say, I can't. I can't because wherever I go, there's an obstruction. There's an obstruction. There are things down there. And you want the roots to go deeper? Yeah, I want the roots to go deeper too. But they're blocked. What are those? What are those? Well, if you recall, in Ezekiel 36. Actually, this is a very positive verse, but it gives us a kind of negative background. This is the verse that says that this is the new covenant, an expression of the new covenant. It says, I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will give you a new heart. That's Ezekiel 36, 26. That's a wonderful promise. Saints, right now sitting here, you have a new heart. Amen. And you have a new spirit. Amen. How about we all say that? I have a new heart.
I have a new heart.
And I have a new spirit.
I have a new spirit.
Actually, you could wake up every morning, you go to the bathroom, look in the mirror and say, hey, you. You have a new heart.
Amen.
And you have a new spirit.
Amen.
What you looking down so much for? You could start your day. You can infuse yourself with faith.
Amen.
I have a new heart. I have a new spirit. But that verse, the background is, says, we had a stony heart. We had a heart. All of us are born with a stony heart. All of us were born in Adam with a heart full of stones. But God gave us a new heart, which means what? A soft heart. It says a heart of flesh. Which means what? A heart that's easy for God to touch. And easy to turn to God. And then you have another promise in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 3:16, which says, whenever the heart turns to the Lord, the veil's taken away. Whenever. Whenever the heart is turned. Then you have another verse. This is Hebrews chapter 3. It says, do not harden your heart. Oh. Actually, let's turn to those verses in Hebrews. Hebrews 3. Let's turn to Hebrews 3. I want to show you some things here. Starting with verse 7, Hebrews 3, 7. Therefore, even as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice... Where does it start, saints? Your ear. It starts with his voice, with him speaking to you. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts. So what does this show? This shows that right now, I have two statuses. Actually, the real status is, I'm in the new creation, and I have a new heart, a soft heart. But if I don't live in the Spirit, I'm in my other status. And what is that? Hard heart. Stony heart. So saints, we find ourselves in these two statuses. And whenever we sense our heart is, oh, I'm over here, my heart is hard, you don't have to wait. You have to wait. Mm-hmm. Instantly you can say, Lord, I need you, I love you, I choose you. I choose you. Now, it's possible there's a rock there. There's something hidden there that we need to deal with. But we don't deal with it in this state. We deal with it in this state. I hope you understand. We deal with it with the Lord, in the Lord, by the Lord. Lord, there's something there And you know what that is. It could be, you know, we have a marvelous note in Matthew chapter 13 in the recovery version that gives four examples of what might those stones be. It's not an all-inclusive list, but it helps us to start to consider. One is hidden sins. You know, sin hardens our heart. Sin hardens our heart. Because sin affects our conscience. And our conscience is part of our psychological heart. You know, the psychological heart is the parts of the soul, mind, emotion, and will, plus the conscience of our spirit. When we sin, something happens to our conscience. And if we don't deal with the sin, if perchance we agree with the sin and stay in the sin, your whole heart starts to get hardened toward God. It's a dangerous state to be in. So saints, don't let your heart get hard. I appreciate, I received this kind of shepherding when I was a teenager. I went to a brother and then confessed, you know, told him something, and he was helping me. And then we prayed. And he prayed, he led me in prayer, but his prayer perfected me. He said, Lord, please don't let our heart get hard. Lord, sometimes we feel our heart is getting hard. We don't know what to do. But all we can do is say, Lord, don't let my heart get hard. In our prayer, he was kind of like praying on my behalf. And I took that, but not just for that situation. Oh, that's been a help. That fellowship has been a help to me. My goodness, 50 years. Lord, don't let my heart. Lord, sometimes I've said that, Lord, I feel it. Something's happening. It's hard to go along with you. I feel like my heart's getting hard. So, Lord, I just come to you. But you know that? As you're saying that, you're actually speaking from your new heart. And you're in the reality of a new heart. Because a new heart, an old heart, a stony heart, will not talk that way. You understand? You're already in the reality of a new heart. So the Lord is there doing something. I don't know what he's doing. Chipping away the stone. I don't know what he's doing. Cracking through it. I don't know. But that's not my business. I just come to him. Because he's the farmer. He's the farmer. He knows what he's doing. Lord, some things I ask. Lord, uproot that. Amen. There's something within me. Lord, take it away. I can't do it. I've tried for these many weeks or months or whatever. Lord, I don't know what to do, but I give this to you. The point is, don't run away. Don't hide. Don't disqualify yourself. Just say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. And I have a new heart, and I'm speaking from my new spirit. I'm exercising my spirit to stand with you. Not only hidden sins, personal desires, self-seeking, and self-pity. You know, we may not realize personal desires, self-seeking. We may not realize that some of our pursuits, although very legitimate, and they can coexist with pursuing the Lord. Some personal pursuits, like in your career, like with your marriage, like with getting a bigger place, buying, you know, a house, all those things, all legitimate things. But sometimes those things become rocks because you didn't know how to manage them. And somehow this thing that you can just do this with the Lord, somehow you took it on yourself and it became an obstruction for the Lord. Oh, I have seen this. I have seen this with marriage. Not marriage itself, but with wanting to be married. You know, marriage, of course, is from God. The institution of marriage is on the first and second page of the Bible. It's from God. And to the end, and then, you know, the Spirit and the bride say, come. That's, you know, it's pointing to the ultimate marriage. The whole Bible really is a kind of book on marriage between God and his people. He invented marriage. So surely something ordained by him, it should not be something that interrupts his economy, that interrupts his work in us. But, when people set their goal, their affection, not with the Lord, not one with the Lord, somehow that which is from him can become an obstruction to him. And that's sad. Now children, you know, children, the blessing of children, that's on the first page of the Bible. Be fruitful and multiply. It's a blessing. And so many verses. Oh, the children are a heritage of Jehovah and so on. There's so many verses that talk about children are a blessing. But it's very interesting. Our children can somehow become an obstruction in our heart for the Lord's roots to go deeper. Because our attention, oh, it's our heart, a good heart. We want the best for them. We want the best for them. But somehow, when did that happen? At your wedding, you consecrated your future, your marriage, your family to the Lord. But now your children become everything to the detriment of your spiritual life and church life. And we see this. We can witness this. I'm saying, saints, it surely doesn't mean, okay, let's get rid of the children. No, that's an abomination. Don't do that. Don't that's not what I'm saying. You know, in the Old Testament, so many places, have you seen those verses? Where the children of Israel joined themselves to the gods of the people, especially Molech. And one thing for this one god, Molech, is to sacrifice children. And the Lord says, that's an abomination. So the Lord is for our children. However, there has to be a way to navigate, to have our children be happy and healthy and productive. And the Lord is, we're still seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness. There has to be a way. And you may say, yeah, yes, Brother Ricky, I want that. How do we do that? I don't know how to do that in your situation. It took enough to figure out how to do it in our situation, to go step by step by step with the Lord. But I look and I also see many who do that. It's possible. It just needs maybe a kind of reset. It may take like not a half hour walk, but a 1 hour walk to go, Lord, I really want that. I want my life to be rearranged, that you have the first place, the priority in a practical way. I don't know where to start now, Lord. I don't know where to start. Just go and he'll shepherd you. He'll shepherd you. And then fellowship with others, with older saints, fellowship with companions. You know, there's another thing I wanted to say about the word no depth, shallow. I hope the Lord could bless every one of us with at least one relationship in the church life that's not shallow. You know, we can be in the church life surrounded by saints, very involved, but nobody really knows you. Nobody really knows what's in your heart. I hope none of us would be this way. we'd have at least one. The brothers would have a brother companion or a spiritual mom and dad. Either one. I hope we would pray for this. Lord, I want someone, and I can tell you, I have this. I want someone that if I'm going off, they'll just smack me upside my head and say, Brother Ricky, stop it. You're a problem. You're becoming a problem. Just come back. I have brothers that we tell each other, Brother, I don't want to be a problem. Say, I don't want to be a problem either. Okay, then let's vow. You see me getting off? You say, stop giving messages. Sit down. Shut up. Or you're going to be more of a problem. I say, amen, brother. We need someone that has the same spirit to walk in the same steps that we can go to honestly and say, help me. And you're not ashamed because, oh, they'll look at me different because they already know you're not that good. You know what I mean? Honest, I'm serious. They know. So you're not keeping up performance to them. And you say, oh, I'm battling this. Oh, brother. Me too. Oh, we better find somebody else or we're both going to, you know. But I hope you could pray for this. James, the book of James, chapter 4 says, you do not have because you do not ask. Ask. Lord, give me someone in the church life. This kind of companion. Just like Joshua and Caleb. Oh, they stayed faithful for 45 years. You know, when Joshua become, you know, when that whole thing with Joshua and Caleb and the 12 spies and they stood against the, oh my. You know, they had to speak against what the brothers spoke, the 10 evil spies. That took some courage. But then later, one of them becomes the leader, Joshua. And then when they're dividing the land, Caleb comes and says, hey, I want my portion. He's 85 now. 45 years have passed. He says, I want my portion. Joshua gives it to him. These two, my goodness, they stayed faithful. I feel like they were like the knives sharpening each other. Do you realize their entire generation didn't make it into the good land? Only they two. How could they last that long? Sharpening each other. Oh, I hope we would all be blessed with someone who could talk to us straight and say, hey, I don't like that you missed the last three Lord's tables. What's going on? Oh, you know, it's work, travel. And then you'll say, don't give me that because I know, because you know one another. And then you can take it from one another. I hope we're all blessed. It's not too late to develop these kind of relationships. Not shallow. Not shallow. But saints, I come back to this point of personal desires. So many things are legitimate. Pursuing your career. All those. But you can do it all the Lord's way. Don't give up. Maybe you were frustrated because you tried to do it the Lord's way. And you feel like, well, it didn't work so well doing it the Lord's way. So I had to take it into my own hands. Well, I would say give him another chance. Give him another chance. The Lord might come in. The Lord might come in. Self-pity. That's another point that is in the footnote. Oh, self-pity. Self-pity is a big rock. Self-pity is a big rock. I don't have to say too much about this. We all have self-pity. We all feel like, oh, I'm the victim here. I don't have to say too much. Another one is concepts. I'm going to put these three things together. Concepts, opinions, and views. Views, V-I-E-W-S, views. Even worldviews. You know, saints, this country is at a stage, many of us can say, we've never seen anything like what's going on. I mean, in the whole country, even in the political realm. I don't very often talk politics. I'm not talking politics. And I don't very often talk politics. But I think this is important because it seems like everybody else talks about politics. And especially in an election year with such a, is it divisive or divisive? Anyway, I don't want to be divisive about saying divisive. Whichever you choose to say. But anyway, it's just so polarizing. So polarizing. And it's very possible for our worldview and our opinions and our stance on certain things to become rocks that don't let the roots grow deeper. So I would say, bring this to the Lord. Bring this to the Lord. You know, our view, a Christian's view of government, a Christian's view of government should be, firstly, that everything is governed by 1 Kings 8:48. This verse, 1 Kings 8:48. That verse is part of the blessing of Solomon on the temple. And he prays, you know, it's interesting. He sort of foretold that if your people leave you, turn away from you, and worship other worship idols and get carried away, and they pray toward this land and toward this city and toward this house, then Lord, answer their prayer. And Daniel did that when he was carried away. Daniel did that. He prayed 3 times a day with his window open to Jerusalem. Saints, that's our political view. Lord, everything is for Christ.
Amen.
Everything is for the church.
Amen.
Everything is for the kingdom.
Amen.
Who's the best one to be there? I don't know. You say, well, I know. Well, you really don't know, but God knows, and it's going to be somebody. But Lord, we want the best for Christ and the church.
Amen.
In 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says that we should pray for, actually says kings, right? I think it says kings, and all those who are in high position. We should pray for the leaders of our nation, of our state, of our city. We should pray for them. You should pray for them even if you didn't vote for them. Yeah, but how should you pray? You should pray that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and gravity. Which means what? That we could have a proper church life.
Amen.
Lord, whoever's there, that it would not affect the church life.
Amen.
Church life. Because when we pray, the kingdom's first.
Amen.
Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done. Because when you come, the King of Kings is taken over.
Amen.
You are the king of all those who rule as kings.
Amen.
And you're the Lord of all those who reign as Lord.
Amen.
You're the real king.
Amen.
And also, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. You know what that says? Our citizenship is in the heavens. I think the recovery version says, our commonwealth is in the heavens. Saints, we're heavenly citizens now.
Amen.
We changed kingdoms. So actually, are you this or that? You should be able to say, neither.
Amen.
And also not independent. You know, you get away or whatever. My party is the H party, heavenly.
Amen.
Heavenly party. That's where I am. Saying, I hope we could all see that this would in our heart, this would be in our heart. Lord, I don't know what's best. I don't know what's best for this nation, for that nation, for the other nation, but Lord, Your will must be done on this earth.
Amen.
Your kingdom has to come.
Amen.
Lord, Lord, end this age. End the age. Get what you need in the ones who have an ear to hear. Because that's what the Lord's waiting for. He's waiting for some who have an ear to hear to cooperate with him so he can end this age.
Amen.
And bring in the next age. In the next age, everything will be set right. I know, sometimes, seems like a fairy tale. When I was younger, I would think, it's kind of like some books I read. But actually, saints, we are people of faith.
Amen.
We don't walk by what we see. We walk by faith.
Amen.
And the King is coming.
Amen.
The King is coming.
Amen.
And we want to, it says in Psalm 24, open your gates and let the King come in.
Amen.
That's what, you know, that starts with Revelation 3:20, what I said this morning, the Lord knocking on the door of each of our hearts. And I open my heart to let the King come in. Then I join with all those who let the King come in. Then, in the midst of the chaos on this earth, you know what we're going to do? We're going to open the gates and let the King come in.
Amen.
How do you do that? By building the church.
Amen.
And you know, if you look at it closely, those verses, 1 Peter 3:20, Hebrews 11, they mention that the long-suffering of God was waiting. The long-suffering of God was waiting in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. God was waiting to judge. He was waiting to judge all the unrighteousness. But he was waiting, what? Actually, for that family, Noah, to finish. You know, he waited 120 years for them to complete that. But as soon as they win, says, and Jehovah shut the door, and it started to rain. Saints, that's happening. It says in Matthew, as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. So, saints, that's what we're doing here. This is what we're doing here. This is the family of Noah here. The family of Noah. And all of us want to align ourselves with what God is doing in this age. I hope, there would be no kind of political talk that would invade the churches and cause division. We're just in a different realm. We're not like, you know, what do you call, like the ostriches that bury their head in the sand? No, we're not like that, avoiding things. We see clearly, actually, probably more clearly than anyone else, with the view of the kingdom and the view of the scriptures. But our heart is in the heavens.
Amen.
Don't allow that to be an obstruction to the growth in life, an obstruction to the roots going deeper and downward. Okay, Hosea, let's turn to this. This is not familiar to us so much. Hosea 14, 5 to 7. I want to give very much time, adequate time for responding from even from this morning or from this fellowship. So we'll go through this just quickly. Let's read these verses. I don't think this is too familiar to us. 5. I will be like the dew to Israel. This and think, okay, what is all this? You know, Lebanon here is mentioned 3 times. First, associated with lilies, lily. Second, associated with olives. And third, associated with vines. You know, the cedars of Lebanon are tall trees. And here it says, like the trees of Lebanon, that his shoots will go forth. You know, the roots, for a tree to be that tall, you know, must have the long roots, the roots that go out. So here it's talking about having a proper root system. Deep roots. Who has the deep roots? Actually, the lily, the olive, and the vine. Yes, lilies are small. But what is the lily in the Bible? We talked about this morning. It represents faith. Having faith. How can you have the adequate faith? There's one answer. More roots downward. The more personal time we spend with the Lord, your faith will be strengthened. And you know, in Song of Songs, it talks about the lily of the valley. You know this phrase? The lily of the valley. What does that mean? It's not a lily in a garden. It's not a lily taken care of by someone, tended to, watered every week. It's just out in the open. Who cares for it? God. You know, we're all lilies of the valley. That means God is responsible for us. And it says in Matthew, they don't do anything. They don't toil. They don't spin. But God takes care of the lily. And saints, oh, if we could have this basic faith, Lord, you are caring for my life. You are caring for my life. Yes, I'm doing my human responsibility, this and that. But Lord, I'm really depending on you. I'm really depending on you. The way to do that? Have the roots that go downward. Secondly, it says about the olive. His shoots will go forth, and his splendor will be that of the olive tree, and his fragrance like the trees of Lebanon. You know, if you know what an olive tree looks like, olive trees are not splendorous. Olive trees don't have like big flowers. And what is the splendor of the olive tree? It's the olives. It's the fruit. How can you have the olive? You know, what are the olives or the olive oil in the Bible? It's the Spirit. How can you have the supply of the Spirit? Roots. Take care of more roots downward. The vines, of course, the vine produces the grapes. The grapes produce the wine. Very interesting. Oil and wine. Oil and wine. Remember the Samaritan? That story of the Samaritan? When someone was beat up, that who's my neighbor? And what happened? A Levite came and saw and went across the street. Like was walking down the path, saw him and kind of avoided. And then a priest came. Oh, avoided. You know, is that religion? Religion has nothing to offer. You know, when we are full of religion, and I said before, sorry, I don't know how we became religious, but we did. When you're religious, you have nothing to offer. But when you have a root system, you get the lily, you get the Spirit, and you get the wine. God cheers you up. You know, there's a verse in, I think it's Psalm 3:3. It says, He is the glory and the one who lifts up my head. The one who lifts up my head. Can you help me? Can you help me? Stand up. Yeah. Okay. Be sad. Be sad. just be sad. Just stop smiling. Yeah. Just be sad. Saturday. Boy, what a happy brother. I picked the wrong brother.
Sorry, brother.
Okay, no, it's good. No, put your head, just be sad. Yeah, look. That's what God does. He says, He's the glory and be sad. Sometimes that's all you need. Thank you. You did that very well. Sometimes you just need the Lord to lift up your countenance a little bit. You know where you can get that personally, directly? In the private time with Him. Where He can give you, sustain the weary with a word. You don't even have to depend on the meeting. You don't have to depend on the conference. You just go to the Lord, and the Lord can make you happy. Have you ever said, Lord, make me happy today? You think He doesn't want to do that? He can just lift up your head. Okay, but my point here is not this. My point here is that if you have the roots, then you have a supply of oil and wine. You have a supply of faith even for others. You know, in the church life, we take turns being that wounded one in Luke chapter 10. You know, that's where the story is, right? Luke 10, the Good Samaritan. You know, when the Samaritan came on the wounded one, he bound his wounds and he poured oil and wine. And then he carried him on his beast to the inn, which is the church life. Don't you want to be able to do that? You know, we all take turns getting beaten up. Sooner or later, all of us need a neighbor. That's why I'm saying you should pray to have that one person, at least one person, who will be your neighbor, who will come to you, won't condemn you, but will talk straight to you and bind you up and have oil and wine. Have a supply of the Spirit and the cheering wine. You know, it says in Judges that wine is to cheer God and men. You can make someone happy. So it's not just all about us all the time. But we can be a supply to others. How to do that? You need to be like the cedar of Lebanon. Amen. Have the roots. Amen. I think that's enough for this session. How about again, we have just a few prayers. We'll open it up. We just pray out loud. We'll pray one corporate prayer. Then we have, I think, probably about 25 minutes for your sharing.